please open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 22. Start there. We're going to do three passages. And, just three verses. Of course, I'll try to explain.
Chris Michael?
Sorry.
Sorry. So yeah, we'll do Acts 22, 26, and 28, and I'll just do some exposition on those passages as well as related ones. I'll read Acts 22 and 26, but please let's read together Acts 28. Verse 23. It's in your bulletin, and it will be on your on the screen as well. Let me go ahead and read those. Acts 22, verse 15. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen or heard. Acts 26, verse 16. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Acts 28, verse 23. Let's read it together. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and the law of Moses. And from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. This is the very word of God. Amen? Well, as you can see, back to the title slide, the subject for today is they were witnesses. They were witnesses. And I've given you three passages from chapters 22 through 28. These are three places where the common word that you find is the word witness. 28 is the last chapter of the book of Acts. However, the word witness can be found all the way from chapter 1. And today, I want to show you those places where the word witness occurs in the book of Acts. And the reason for this is because it's important to see and understand what the Bible is doing to you. That's very important because, as I've said before, Jesus is not something you add to your life to make it better. The Christian faith is not like, oh, here's another part that I can put into my life, and then it's like, you know, a hobby or an interest or an education. You don't let God into your life. It's not how it works. You put your life into God's hands. So God is not joining your story. You are joining His story. That's what we want to marinate in. The more you understand, the more that we understand that God is shaping us, molding us, transforming us, the more we're able to participate in what God is doing. So it's not about what Mitaki is doing in the city. That's part of it. It's what God is doing in the world and how Mitaki is a part of that. And so, sorry, I got a little bit excited there, but that's the whole purpose of this. So it's not what we're trying to understand in the Bible. That's a small part. It's what the Bible is doing to us and opening our eyes and opening our mind. So, okay, before I get too far ahead, let's go, you can go to the fourth, that one. The fourth slide. I want to just make it very clear. Everybody is aware of the word witness, and we all know the meaning, but I want to show you the places in the book of Acts where the word witness comes, but let's be clear about the meaning of it. Even though we know what it means, let's be absolutely clear. So, I just went on Google, and I did the Google definition search, right? And, this is what comes up, the word witness. As you can see on the slide, the Nihongo is mokgekisha, and then the Greek is in the yellow. That's martus, where we get the word martyr, but that means witness. So there are two forms. The first form is the noun form, and the first definition of the noun form is a person who sees an event take place. For example, the police are looking for witnesses to the accident. People who see the accident with their own eyes. They are the witness. But the second definition is also important. The second definition is evidence or proof. That is a witness. How do we know that an event actually is true? It actually happened. I was listening to a broadcast this morning about Socrates and his student Plato. You're familiar with Socrates, but did you know Socrates never wrote a single thing in all his life? It was his students who wrote about Socrates. And his number one student was Plato. And Plato is known for all of his writings. The ones that we have now in antiquity are his dialogues, his conversations with Socrates. So how do we know Socrates actually existed, that he was a person? We know from a witness. His student Plato is evidence and proof that he existed. That's the second definition. And then we go to the verb definitions. The verb to witness, right? It means see an event happen, of course, right? For example, a driver who witnessed the accident. He saw what happened, to witness the same. The second one is interesting. The second definition is have knowledge from observation or experience. For example, we are witnessing, what we are witnessing is history in the making. Yeah. So not only do we see it, but it has a special significance. And because we are seeing it, there is value and worth to it, to the fact that we are seeing it. So with those definitions in mind, right at the front of our mind, I want to take you through the book of Acts. Not too slowly, but not too quickly. But let's keep pace here. We begin in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And you can turn in your Bible. I invite you to turn in your own Bible or in your own Bible app. That's probably easier. And I'm going to take you right through each data point for that. Okay, so let's get the data and then we'll do the application. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Jesus says, "You're my witnesses." But it doesn't happen without the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? A witness is someone who has the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian witness, a witness to Jesus Christ, is the one with the Holy Spirit. All right? So that's chapter 1, verse 8. Now look at chapter 1, verse 22. This is not Jesus. This is Peter. He's speaking to the other 10 disciples. Pastor Chris, I thought there were 12. It should be 11. Well, one of them betrayed Jesus. His name was Judas. So now they have to replace him. And here is what Peter says about the replacement of Judas. Please forget, you have verse 22 there on your screen, but I'm going to just read it to you from a little bit before that, from Acts verse 21. So listen, and then you can see verse 22. "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us." Verse 22, "beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So the witness was someone who saw Jesus, the event when Jesus was baptized, the miracles, the teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, all the way to the arrest, to the trial, to the crucifixion, to the burial, and then afterward, when he resurrected, and for a month and a week, he was eating and drinking, all of that. Someone who saw it with his eyes. We need to choose one. That's a witness. A witness to the resurrection. As you can see, it's highlighted. A witness with us of his resurrection. Okay, now chapter 2. We're at Peter again. And this time, he's speaking not to a group of 11 or a group of 10. He's speaking to an audience of thousands. So the power of God has filled them now. The Holy Spirit has come upon them. They're speaking in languages from all around the world. Why? Because people from all around the world have come to Jerusalem. From the east to the west, from Elam to Rome, and they've come to Jerusalem. Different cultures, different languages. And now the Holy Spirit has come. They're speaking in this language. And so they're saying, "What's happening?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, starts giving his sermon. And in the middle of the sermon, in chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 29. Chapter 2, verse 29. And then verse 32 is up there. "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. Verse 30. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Verse 31. Seeing what was to come," please listen, "he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay." Verse 32. "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of this." We are witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Chapter 3. Next chapter, Peter and John, they go to the temple. They see a man who cannot walk, right? He's begging. And Peter looks at him. He says, look at me. Silver and gold I cannot give to you, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up, right? And he heals him. And the whole crowd is like, what's going on? This man was lame for 40 years. And so Peter is now speaking to the crowd in the temple. And this is chapter 3. And let me read from verse 13. Oh, I wish I could read more, but I'll read from verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You, Jewish people, handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. Verse 14. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. Now, verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of... Do you see the pattern? Well, you see the pattern? They're witnesses of what? God raising Jesus to life. Okay? That's the witness. We've seen this event. Chapter 5. Let's keep going. Next slide. Yeah, chapter 5. And this is Peter. He has been arrested by the Jewish authorities. And now he is on trial. He's now speaking in his defense in the court. So, listen. I'm going to read from verse 29, chapter 5. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that we might bring Israel, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins." Verse 32, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, here is an element added to the witness. In verse 32, we are witnesses, not only us, but who? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the witness. He is the evidence, the proof, along with the apostles. Very important there. Okay, so now we're going to continue the story. The gospel... The church is established in Jerusalem. Now it is going out to Judea and Samaria. There is an old Roman soldier, a centurion named Cornelius. He believes in God. It means, yeah. And so it's an amazing story. He's praying and God speaks to him. He says, "Cornelius, please invite this man named Peter. Let him come to your house." And while Cornelius is listening to God tell him this thing, Peter is in another town, and he's praying, and God speaks to Peter. And he says, "Peter, go to a Roman man's house and tell them the good news about Jesus Christ." And Peter's like, "No, God, I can't do it. I've never been into a house of a dog non-Jew, a Gentile." Ugh. And you know what? God has to tell him three times. Go. Peter always has to listen three times, right? Yeah. And so finally, Peter gets a knock on the door. You know, "Who is it?" "Oh, we're two men. Please come with us." Cornelius, he gets his family and his close friends. He gathers them. And so by the time Peter arrives at the house, there's a whole crowd of people. Right? And he says, "Oh boy, I got to tell them the story now." So Peter is telling them the story of the good news. Okay, I'm going to read from chapter 10, verse 37. Verse 37. "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Verse 39, it's on the screen. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Verse 41, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now, please notice verse 42. Special word there. I included it. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So he says to a whole family, a whole household, a whole group of non-Jews, Jesus of Nazareth was appointed by God. He did all these miracles, all these teachings. He rose from the dead. We're witnesses. But then look at the last verse, verse 42. He commanded us to preach and to testify. That word testify is the word dimartuthenos in Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. I studied a little bit. But did you see the middle part of that word? The word witness in Greek is martus. The word testify in Greek is dimartuthenos. It's right at the heart. So the word testify means to witness. We saw these events. And now we are speaking of these events in our testimony. We are speaking of what we witnessed, what we have seen. What have we seen? Jesus rise from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, it means he's the judge. He's the judge. He is God himself. Whether you are Christian or not, whether you believe in God, you know in your heart, there is a power, there is an authority that you must answer to. That's called the judge. That's the judge. And that judge has a name. It is Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he's saying. Okay, let's continue. There's one more slide. Okay, finally, chapter 13. Chapter 13. And, this is now Paul. We started in Jerusalem with Jesus. Then we went to Peter. Now, Peter went into Jerusalem. And then now Peter has gone out of Jerusalem into Cornelius' house in Caesarea. And now it's out into the interior of Turkey, a place called Pisidian Antioch. And Paul, not Peter, Paul now, is speaking to a group of religious Jews in a synagogue. And he's telling them a whole story. I don't have time. I'll just read from I'll read from verse 29. When the Jews had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. Verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. And we tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. So Paul is saying this. God promised through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through Moses, through Joseph, through the prophets, through David, through Solomon, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Ezra, Nehemiah, through all the... God was promising to make the world new, to save the world with his power and love. And now Paul is saying, in Jesus Christ, that promise has come true. And we are witnesses. We are witnesses of this. How are we witnesses? We saw him raised to life. But watch this. He's given us new life. And we have evidence of that with the miracles, with this church, with you. The Spirit of God has filled our lives. And so now the promise of God has come true. That's what he's saying. We are witnesses. We are evidence. This is what we've seen with our eyes. And this is the proof of it. So that was Paul in chapter 13. Okay, Yuki, let's go to the next one. Now it's chapter 22, which is in your bulletin and on the screen. But the context is from verse 12. Paul is having a flashback. He's standing in front of, he's standing in front of Jews, and he's having a flashback. He's talking about Ananias, a man named Ananias, whom God told, Ananias, there's this man, Saul, he's going around arresting Christians. I want you to go get him and bring him into your house. And Ananias says, no, I cannot do that. He's dangerous. And God says, no. You go tell him. You go get him. Trust me. So Ananias gets Paul, and he says, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. Verse 13 of chapter 22. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Verse 14. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. Brother Saul, you were blinded by Jesus. And now Jesus gives you his sight, your sight. And now, from now, your life is a witness. And then, chapter 26, we're almost there. Chapter 26, and verse 15 and 16. Now, Paul is in chains. He's in prison, but he's going to speak before the king, Agrippa. And he's doing another flashback. And Paul is talking about what happened to him on his journey. On one of these journeys, chapter 26, verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. Chapter 6, verse 26, verse 14. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 15. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Jesus spoke to his disciples in chapter 1. You will be my witnesses, he says. Jesus appears to Paul in Acts chapter 9. And now Paul recounts it in Acts 26. Jesus says to Paul, "You are and will be my witness." Please notice the time. You are and will be my witness. You are now, and you will be soon my witness. Let's keep that in the back of our minds. And now finally we get to chapter 28. Paul has now arrived in Rome. He actually wants to go to Spain, but Rome is on the way there. So he's stopped for a while, and he's gathered the Jews around him, and he's trying to explain to them who Jesus is, and this is what it says. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Let's go to our final slide. We've now looked at all of the data. You've seen everything, the word, how Luke uses the word witness. And we've seen how the apostles, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Philip, all of them, the 11, they were witnesses of what they have seen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the baton passes to Paul. Paul is a witness of the risen Christ. And then something strange happens in the last verse. The word witness goes from the noun to the verb. In verse 23, chapter 28, it says, "He witnessed." It's the verb form. So, those are just some of the data points. Let's look at some applications. You see, it's not just the Luke is giving us this story, the story of Acts, not only as a history, but as an example for us. They were witnesses. We are and will be witnesses. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Here we go. We have to talk to people about Jesus. We have to go out on the streets. We have to go to our people at work. We have to go to the parks. We have to go to the shopping centers. And we have to give literature. And we have to... Oh, I'm a bad Christian because I'm scared to talk about Jesus. I'm a bad Christian because I cannot witness. That's not the gospel. That's not good news. The good news is you are a witness. There's no trying to be a witness. Right? There's no training, and there's no, you know, I have to. No. You are a witness. Now, let me just give you three things, and we're done. Three levels. Level one, the church, the global church, is the witness. Level two, the local church is the witness. Number three, the personal level, the Christian is a witness. So, global, local, and personal. You know, it's discouraging. I'll admit, there's so few of us here. There could be more, but actually there is a lot more. If you were at the Japanese service, there is no place to sit. It's beautiful, right? No place to sit. Even upstairs, all the teenagers are up there, you know, laying around like this. It's a beautiful thing, right? But I want more. Obviously, we want more. But you know what? We think about the church around the world, globally. Yeah, we're early. We're in Japan. Japan, we're one of the first on Sunday to come together in the name of Jesus for the next 16 hours from every church, every country, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. They're going to gather in the name of Jesus as a witness, as evidence, as proof of the power and the love of God. That's what's happening. And I know the Christian church throughout history has made many mistakes. We have done terrible things. We do not deny it. We take responsibility for it. And for the wrong things that the Christian church has done, it does not take away from what Jesus has done. And what Jesus has done is greater than what the church has done. And as the global church, we continue to be a witness of God making all things new by purchasing our forgiveness through the cross. Lead me to the cross. Global. We are a global witness to the power of God. Local. Here in Mitaki, here in Hiroshima, here in Japan. Let me tell you one of my secret pleasures, guilty pleasures, okay? When I attend the Japanese service, I sit in the back, and when I see an old Japanese woman, lady, and she's opening her Bible, it's an old Bible. It's Japanese Bibles are so thick. You know, they don't make thin Japanese. This isn't very buatsu. And then she's taking notes. Pastor Hiroshi is taking a sermon. I have to take a picture. I have to take a picture. And I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I'm on chat. I have chat groups, right? And I send a picture to my chat friends of old Japanese Christians taking notes in their Bible. I've taken two or three now. You know, it's nice to see a church with young people. We have a children's, you know, we have a healthy children's ministry. We have a healthy youth ministry. We have young families here at Mitaki. That's nice. But I've come to realize what's more encouraging is when I see a Japanese person with white hair, sometimes with blue hair. You know, and some even the cooler ones are with the purple hair. You know why it's purple? Well, you know why. Come on, right? They're doing the color, and for some reason the chemicals don't make it black. It makes it purple, and yeah, it's cool though. It's cool. No judgment. But, okay, stupid thing. But okay, moving on. So, it's good to see young people in the church, but I'm more encouraged. Because when I see an older Japanese person in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 80s, they've been through the discouragement. They've been through the darkness, right? The delay, the depressions. They've been through the ups, the downs. And they're still Christians. They're still faithful. Yeah, they're a witness. They're evidence. They are proof that God is faithful. And they could be so few, so small, so, you know, you could go to, there's 50 evangelical Protestant churches in Hiroshima. And then there's also another group of Catholic churches here in Hiroshima. They're all very small. About this is average, this group right here. Of those churches in Hiroshima. But we're still here. God is still faithful. This is the witness that God is still, He's going to make all things new. Now, don't be discouraged. Now, let's get to where you are. The personal level. I've done it all. I have. I have gone to beaches and piers. I've gone to parks. I've handed out Christian literature. I've spoken to people on, you know, just sitting on benches. I've spoken to homeless people, telling them my faith. My own mentor took me out on the streets and showed me how to witness, how to talk about Jesus Christ to the stranger. I've gone on Hondori. I've played guitar and sang songs with a group of other Christians. I've gone on mountaintops. I'm not telling you to do that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power, it's going to happen. If you have a desire, if in your heart you oh God, I want my family member, I want my coworker, I want my student, my whatever, I want them to know your love. They need your love. If that's the desire of your heart, That's from the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you right now, if you want that conversation to happen, trust in the Lord. It will happen. Just trust in the Lord. And I'm not telling you to go and witness. I'm telling you, you are a witness. How? Rejoice in the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Give God all of your heart, all of your trust, all of your life. And now Paul, in the end, what happens? He explained about the kingdom of God, and he persuaded about Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's witnessing. That is to witness, as the Bible shows. It will come natural the more you get into Jesus Christ. So what do I do? I listen to a lot of podcasts about apologetics, Christian thought, Christian philosophy, not because I have to, but because I enjoy it. I enjoy Christian thought. I enjoy Christian theology. And I enjoy the Bible. And it's going to come out naturally. Are all of my students Christians? No, they're not. Do I share with them the Bible? Yeah, I love it. I made my Chuichi students, my seventh grade students, they've all memorized long passages of the Bible. I make them write it out on their test. Yeah, they hate it, but I love it. It's my joy and privilege. Yeah, and they record on their iPads, you know, every little verses. We recorded this week. Yeah, what did we record yesterday? Yesterday I made them record their voices. But God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. There's a 186 junior high students that have memorized that. Yeah. It's the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's my joy. Yeah. All I'm saying is don't feel guilty about what you're not doing. Rejoice in what God has done. You are a witness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. All right. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in what you have done through Jesus Christ. Martus, mokgeksha, witness. So Lord, thank you that you've risen from the dead. We have not seen it with our eyes, but we trust in it with all of our hearts. Lord, as you are faithful, help us to be faithful. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.